I know how you're feeling. You're overwhelmed and exhausted. You are constantly battling the time constraints that come with being an elementary music teacher. You're yearning for balance and harmony in your classroom. If you've said yes to at least one of these, then I have a brand new course I'm so excited to tell you about. It's called Chaos to Calm, your step-by-step guide to running your elementary music classroom for success. Using this course, you will go from feeling overwhelmed and exhausted to feeling joy in your music classroom. This course is designed to help you find harmony and balance while you meet your students where they're at and connect with them in ways you never thought possible. You can get in at Founders Pricing by going to storiesthatsing.net/chaos-to-calm. Again, if you are ready to feel more joy, harmony, and balance in your classroom, go to storiesthatsing.net/chaos-to-calm. See you there.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
It's the Happy Music Teacher!
Are you an elementary music teacher who's frustrated and overwhelmed? I'm Jeanette Shorey, a happy music teacher who loves teaching every day, but it wasn't long ago I was in your shoes. Join me Wednesdays to help you find happy in your music classroom. Being an elementary music teacher is hard, let's face it. I mean, I know that most people in the school and most people in public think that being an elementary music teacher is all singing and dancing and joy and happiness, but you and I know that that is not the case. We know that there is a ton going on. I mean, you've got your regular lesson plan. You have the performances that you're getting ready for. And I say performances because so many times you're preparing for multiple performances at the same time. And the logistics that go into it, the planning and organization that go into a performance, a program, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, nobody understands but us. And then you've got classroom management, and classroom management is tricky because you don't have the power. And we've talked about that. In fact, we talked about that last week. If you missed that podcast episode, go back and listen to it. Episode number 50, we are talking all about classroom management and some good strategies to help you there. So we know that all the things are difficult. And what I'm going to share with you is that mindset is the biggest, most important thing that you need to concentrate on, to focus on. Because when you have a positive mindset, when you have an accepting mindset, when you have a flexible mindset, a growth mindset, if you will, then you're going to face your day in a completely different way than you would if you don't. And I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, then you probably are already prepared, if you don't have a growth mindset, to find your growth mindset, because, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, mindset, it really means the difference between taking your day on and making the most of it and taking your day on and allowing it to defeat you. And you and I both know that defeat is a real thing in our classroom. I mean, it is so easy to allow those students and the admin and everybody else, our colleagues sometimes, to defeat us and make us feel less than and make us feel like we're not amazing teachers, and you know, and maybe not on purpose, because they just don't understand what goes on in our classroom. So today I am going to give you some ways to help you master your mindset. Number one, you need to accept that chaos is going to happen in your classroom. Accept the chaos, because chaos is part of your everyday. Chaos is something that happens everywhere in the school. It happens down the hallway. It happens in the cafeteria. It happens in the gen ed teacher's classroom. It happens in the special ed teacher's classroom. It happens everywhere. We are teaching little kids. And because we're teaching little kids, it's going to happen. I mean, there is no way to avoid it. So what I want to tell you is, know it's going to happen. And then accept that it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. If chaos comes into your classroom, you did not do anything wrong. You did not make it so. What you do need to do is have a plan in place. And every single time chaos happens, you need to have a plan for how to deal with it. So let's say, for example, today I have this one little boy who is, oh my goodness, he is so cranky and disrespectful to the students and to me. And today he came in and I only had him for like 10 minutes because we had a first grade rehearsal and he's a kindergartner. And so we were doing coloring pages. And when I brought him back to the classroom, he started from the time he was in line and he was just rah, 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 picking at the students. And then when I called him aside later, not in front of the students, when I called him aside, then he started on me. And like he really got very disrespectful to me. And so what I needed to do is I needed to make sure that, first of all, I know this student. And I know this is going to happen periodically. If not lately, it's been happening every week. I mean, there's definitely something going on with him. And we don't know what it is, but it's all the things. So I accepted that it wasn't my fault. I knew it wasn't my fault. I knew it was something that was going on with him. And I knew that there was nothing I could do to stop him from being angry and being upset and being disrespectful. But what I could do is I had the plan in place that, knowing that he was going to probably gear up once he got into my classroom, I had decided that today I was not going to deal with any of it because we have dealt and dealt and dealt. And I immediately sat him out. Not right away, but like as soon as he started, I gave him an opportunity. I said, this is your warning. And then he continued and I sat him out and he sat at a table by himself and he was not happy about it. And it didn't really get a lot better, but at least that way he was not poking it at the other kids. So you want to accept that the chaos is going to happen. Make sure you tell yourself it's not your fault, because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be. And then have a plan in place for how to deal with it. And if it's a new behavior or you're a new teacher, then maybe you don't have a plan in place yet. But what you need to do is once the student leaves or once the class leaves, whatever happens, whatever's going on, you need to have a moment of reflection. Even if you don't have time at that moment, write yourself a quick little note and be like, okay, I need to reflect on this later. And for the next time, you need to have a plan in place. And if you can't decide a plan, then reach out to the classroom teacher, reach out to your admin, reach out to your guidance counselor. If you're not comfortable reaching out to any of them, reach out to me, Jeanette@storiesthatsing.net. I am so happy to help you. Finally, dealing with chaos, remind yourself every time that it's okay, it's going to happen, it's not your fault, and just make sure you have that plan in place. Number two, use the chaos. Allow your students to do some talking. I'm going to go into these in a little bit more in a moment. Allow some noisy play. Let them do what they want and have a plan for when the chaos takes over. You notice how I'm talking about a plan again. So, for example, I love to give my students time to turn and talk, where we'll have just maybe read a story or maybe we have played an instrument, and I'll be like, okay, boys and girls, turn and talk to a shoulder partner and talk about, and I always give them something to talk about. So let's say that we just finished playing ukuleles, and I might say, turn and talk to your shoulder partner about something that was challenging and something that you were really excited that you did well. So I give them some things to talk about. If you don't give them talking points, then, you know, they're just going to be talking about whatever, you know. So you want to give them some talking points. Another time that it's okay to let them talk is, for example, when you're passing out instruments. They have nothing else to do unless you're allowing them to play the instruments as you pass them out, which I love to do. But if that is too noisy for you, at least allow them to talk softly. And I'll always say to them, we are going to talk softly while I'm passing out instruments. We are going to use our whisper voices. And if they get above a whisper voice, I'll remind them then. So you want to allow talking as much as you can. Second, allow noisy play. So we have so many opportunities to allow our students to be a little bit noisy, to play a game where, for example, if you haven't played this game, this is a wonderful game. It's like, we are dancing in the forest while the wolf is far away. Who knows what will happen to us if he finds us at our play? Wolf, where are you? And then the wolf, so you're dancing around in a circle and they're singing. This is a great one for outdoors, but it also works indoors if you have a decent sized classroom that has a lot of space in it, or even a decent amount of space. And so they'll be walking around in either clockwise or counterclockwise in their circle. They're singing the song. There is a wolf, and the wolf says, when they go, wolf, where are you? They might say, I'm tying my shoe, and then they sing again and they dance again. The wolf might say something else, or the wolf might say, I'm coming to get you. And I love for them to, you know, use their really low, deep, scary wolf voice, and they go running after the students and they try to catch the students. Now, we've got some specific rules in place where they're only allowed to run in a certain area. They cannot run at top speed ever because that's not safe. And if you're in your classroom and you don't want them to run, you could say to them, fast walking. And remember, you'll have to remind them of this every time. So this is a great way to allow some noisy play. Another way to allow some noisy play is anytime you're doing dynamics, have them use their whisper voices and their shouting voices and their speaking voices so they get a chance to, shouting voices especially, they love that. When you're doing shouting voices, you want to make sure that it's an indoor shouting voice and not an outdoor shouting voice. So you have to talk about that a little bit, but they will get to know that. The next part of this, let them do what they want. What do I mean by this? Well, students, children, do not have a lot of choice in their lives. Most of what they are doing is stipulated to them. They're not allowed to choose whether or not they go to school, of course. They're not allowed to choose usually what they're having for dinner or lunch or breakfast, maybe lunch because they might be eating at school, but they're not allowed to choose whether they want to have a cookie or not. They have to ask if they want to have a cookie. You know, nothing is in their choice. They really do not get to make a lot of choices. So if you give them an opportunity to choose, to do what they want, to have some fun and play with some toys, you know, that sort of thing, it is going to be a really good thing. So for example, maybe you give them, this may not work in your classroom, but maybe you give them a choice at the beginning where they get to vote, okay, boys and girls, do you want to play hand drums today or do you want to play egg shakers? And then they get to vote. Or maybe as they're going by, you hold out two different egg shakers and they're different colors and they get to pick the color. Now that may not work for you, but give them some choices that hopefully that gets your thinking going so that you can figure out where you want them to do or where you want them to have choices. Maybe you say, do we want to play a game to review or do we want to sing this song for review? You know, whatever it is, give them some choices. The other thing is let them choose the music sometimes. Maybe you take two pieces of music that they know and you say, did you want to sing this one today or did you want to sing this one today? Or, you know, whatever the case may be. So give them some opportunities to do what they want and to make choices. Then have a plan in place for when chaos takes over. So you want to make sure that any time, let's say that you are doing some movement and during the movement, someone is not safe. Freeze, boys and girls, someone is not being safe. That would be the first thing I would say. Someone is running instead of walking, whatever the case may be. Notice I didn't say the person's name. We are going to try one more time, and I hope that that person is safe this time. So, and I look right at that person in case they're not noticing that it's them that we're talking about, right? If it happens again, I am so sorry, Andrew, you're going to have to sit out in the rest area because you're not being safe. Normally, I don't like to call students out, but when they're not being safe, you know, there's not really a lot of opportunity to, I tried without calling the person out, and then I have to do that. Number three, you want to make things so much fun for your students. Here are some ways you can do that. You can pass out instruments in, like I love to make a circle and we pass it down like this. Pass it down to the right, pass it down. And they get to pass out the instruments. They are giggling the whole time because they're, you know, they're passing and they get to pass it kind of fast. It really works well. It takes about three times to get them to the point where they're understanding. So you want to do it at the beginning of the year when you're really, you know, working on rules and procedures already. And so, you know, instrument passing techniques, I love to toss things at my students. Last week, we were working with stretchy alpacas. And so I was like, flying alpaca. And I tossed the alpacas to them. I have a really good toss, like I'm able to throw it right into their laps. And that may not work for you. But when you're passing out scarves, instead of just handing it to them, drop it on them. So, you know, anything you can do to make it fun. Bring out all the manipulatives. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about using PE equipment. So you want to bring out the scarves, the stretchies, the Legos, bring out the PE equipment. If you need more information on how to use PE equipment, look for that podcast. I will link it in the show notes. Bring out any kind of toys that they're working on. If they're working with slap bracelets right now or not working with any, they're playing with anything that they're playing with, you want to bring it out and you want to make it a part of your classroom. The parachutes, balloons, bubbles, you know, anything that they can either hold in their hands or you're holding in your hands and it's entertaining them, it's all going to be good stuff. Use movement every day. Movement is so important. Movement is all the things. You must use movement because they don't get enough movement in their day-to-day and because it's so much fun. So you get to choose what sort of movements, right? If you love to do line dancing or you love to do folk dancing or whatever it happens to be, that you really enjoy doing, make sure you add movement at least once a day, if you can, twice a day. Experience your students' joy. This is so important. You want to learn to love the little things like your students love the little things. So, for example, if a student comes in and they have a new pair of shiny shoes on, oh my goodness, Jaden, look at your, well, not Jaden, Jaden. Well, I guess Jaden might have a shiny pair of shoes, but let's say that Livia has a shiny pair of shoes on. Livia, I love your shiny shoes. Those are so cool. Or Jaden, I love how your shoes light up. I mean, love those little things about them. Notice those little things. Oh my goodness, did you get a new haircut? Or, oh, I love the hair bow you have in. Or, you know, whatever it happens to be, notice those little things that you know that they love and smile at them. Notice those little things that you know that they love and love them too. Don't just be, they will see right through you if you're saying it and you don't really mean it. So the things that, like, I like anything shiny. I love glitter. I love, you know, any sparkles. I'm a sparkle girl. So, you know, if you love sparkles, then that might be something, oh my goodness, I love your sparkly shirt, Olivia, you know, that kind of thing. So, and use your funny, silly voices while you're doing it. Smile and laugh often. It is so important to smile at your students and to laugh with them. And when they are laughing, it is okay to laugh with them. And they love that. And that's really a sign of respect, that you respect them if you smile at them and you laugh at their jokes. And obviously, if you don't think it's funny and it's going to come off forced, then don't do it. But laugh with them. Be grateful and thankful. Find something that you are grateful for every single day. Start a grateful journal. If you don't have time to do writing or you don't like to write, then put it in your phone. Put a grateful journal in your phone. And every time something amazing happens in your classroom or something amazing happens with one of your students, write it down. I try to write something down every day that I'm grateful for in my personal life, in my professional life, and something amazing about my students. So I try to do that every day, if at all possible. Finally, be like Taylor Swift and shake it off. If something has happened in your classroom, don't allow it to ruin your entire day. I know sometimes that's hard to do because, you know what? We are teachers and things happen, and sometimes it's hard to get over them because, you know, sometimes it's really big deal stuff. But do your best to move through it. Take some deep breaths. Focus yourself on the joy that's happening. Allow those students to give you those hugs and, you know, whatever, because, you know, they always know when you're having a bad day and they are going to give you hugs when you're having a bad day. They totally are. Even the bigger ones will do that. So try to find a way to shake it off and to not let it be such a big deal. Tip number 5. Allow some fantasy into your life. Fantasy is such a big part of your students' lives. They love the idea of fantastical creatures, fairy princesses, animals who can talk and sing, and why not? I mean, I'm going to recommend that you step into that world with your students and embrace that fantastical world they live in. I mean, suspend your disbelief. Imagine what it would be like if you walked into your house and your dog started singing to you, or what it would be like to be a prince or a princess for a day. Immerse yourself in that happy little world your students live in. It is going to make your day so much better. So let's go back and do a quick review. Number 1, accept the chaos. Know it's going to happen. Accept that it's not your fault. Have a plan in place and remind yourself every time that it is going to happen and it is okay when it does. Number 2, use the chaos. Allow time for talking. Allow time for noisy play, noisy talking, noisy shouting, games, noisy games. Let your students have some choices in their day and have a plan in place for when chaos takes over. Number three, make it so much fun. Use some crazy instrument passing techniques. Get out some toys and manipulatives and things that they wouldn't expect you to use. Put movement in every single day and make sure that you add lots and lots of silly into your classroom. Number four, experience your students' joy. Learn to love those little things. Oh my goodness, Aubrey, you lost a tooth. Isn't that exciting? Smile often, laugh often, be grateful and thankful. Be like Taylor Swift and shake it off. And finally, number five, suspend your disbelief and allow the fantasy that your students love so much to be a part of your life too. Imagine what it would feel like to immerse yourself in their happy little world.
If you got some great tips and tidbits that are going to help you become a happy music teacher, I would be so thankful if you'd leave me a review. Thanks so much for your time.
Well, that's all I have for you today. But before I go, let me remind you, keep learning, keep growing, and keep being fabulous you.